James chapter 1, verse 9. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. We believe that to be the word of the Lord, and we're going to spend a few minutes looking at that together. There's all sorts of details in there. We can't possibly get to the bottom of it. But we do want to hear from God in that. So why don't we pray? Do keep that passage open, if you would, so we can look at it together. And let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Bible. Thank you for the book of James. Thank you that you speak to us today by your Holy Spirit in us as we read these words of Scripture. Please speak to us now. Help us to be attentive to your call on our lives. And so please help us to be those who respond rightly, who do what it is we're supposed to do as we hear these words, who think what we're supposed to think and say what we're supposed to say. May we be those who are changed by the power of your word as we read it together today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you will agree that one of the hardest things about our current circumstances is that there isn't any clear end in sight. I mean, there is an end, but we certainly don't know when it will be. And actually, we don't know how it will come, do we? When lockdown started, I remember talking to somebody who said, "Oh, there's no way this is going to go on as long as, say, 3 months." Well, we're not in the same situation we were in April, are we? But we're certainly not out the woods. And so I wonder how much better it would feel if we knew this is all going to be over in, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, and we knew how it would happen. We'd have a goal in sight, wouldn't we? We don't have that goal, not clearly. We don't know what life will look like in 2021. But in today's Bible passage that we've just read, we do have a goal, and it's an ultimate goal. It's the ultimate goal, because this is the goal of our life. So look with me. Jonathan mentioned it in the prayers, but look with me at verse 12 of our passage, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, the crown of life is the goal. It's the reward at the end of a long and difficult journey. It's a prize that is way more than this life can offer. And we're going to think a little bit more about that in just a moment. If you were with us last week, you'll remember that we were talking about those trials in life. We saw James say that we consider it joy, pure joy, when we face many different sorts of trials, because God uses them to grow perseverance in us, and one day we'll be complete. A big thing to think about. You can catch up with that online if you'd like to. When we read the book of James, it can feel like he's jumping about from topic to topic. Did it feel like that to you in today's reading? We've got rich and poor stuff at the start, verses 9 to 11, and then there's the bit about the crown that I've just read, and then there's stuff about temptation before we're told something about God. You might say James sounds a bit like Jesus, his older brother. But of course, those things are not a sort of random assortment of proverbs, as of course they weren't with Jesus. Actually, we're carrying on the idea that we thought about last week. We really need to get this stuff. That's why we get more of it. This is about enduring those trials of life. There'll be difficult things in our lives, all of us, but they'll be different from person to person. Some of those difficult things are minor, some are life-changing. But in all of them, this book of the Bible says, keep going, persevere, and keep the goal in sight. In the first part of the chapter that we read last week, the goal was completion, that maturity, that perfection that will one day be ours. And today we see another aspect of the goal, which is that crown, the crown of life. Now, when we read the word crown, we probably think royalty, don't we? We think crown jewels, we think gold and diamonds, etc. Here, and very often in the Bible, it's probably much more realistic to think of a wreath that is put on your head if you've won a race. It's that sort of crown. Very much like a medal ceremony at the Olympics. And you can see how that makes sense here, can't you? You struggle through life, you push through the pain, you keep going. And how do you do it? Well, look to the prize. Daydream about that victory ceremony. If you ever watch the Olympics or something like it, they do those behind-the-scenes films, don't they, on the TV, where we get a glimpse of what it's been like to be in training for all those months and years beforehand. There are early starts and long, grueling training regimes. There's pain. There's a diet plan. There's no social life for months on end. So why do you do it? Why would you go through all that? Well, I guess you do it for the thrill of the moment. When you're finally in that race or pushing to jump or throw that bit further. And you do it because of the prize, don't you? Because of the glory of standing on that podium and accepting the accolades for your country. I imagine you daydream again and again about what it will feel like to win. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. If you're a Christian, the Almighty God wants you to receive that crown. He wants you to get it. So he wants you to look forward to it. He wants you to daydream about it. He is looking to the medal ceremony when he will place that crown on you. James says he's promised it to everyone who loves him, the crown of life. So the day we die is the day we really live. And that's what God wants for us. I wonder, is that how you think about God? Is that your image of God? The one who wants the best for you, who wants you to keep going, even if life is very hard, even if life is harder because of your faith. He's promised you the crown if you persevere, and he so wants you to get there. He's cheering you on the way. He's not just the one giving out the prizes. He's there in the crowd with a massive sign with your name on it. Go on, Chris. You can do it, Sarah. We love you, Pete. Is that how you think of God? He wants you to win the prize. He wants us to keep growing in our faith, no matter what life throws at us, longing for that day. Do you know that God wants you to win the prize? Let's look very briefly at the bits either side of verse 12 in our reading. The verse 12 is the crown bit. We're going to look at the bits either side to see how they help us along the way. They fit in with this idea of keeping going, persevering. There are a couple of specifics that are going to help us. So in verses 9 to 11, we're thinking about rich and poor, wealth and poverty. And the point is that we should see ourselves the way God sees us, not the way the world sees us. So verse 9, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Some of James's readers have been dealt a bad hand in life since they became Christians. Some have become poor because they've missed out. And in the world's eyes, they're significant. They're insignificant. Some of them might seem insignificant for other reasons. Their neighbours don't think much of them. Maybe they don't notice them at all. And James talks about their high position. Humble circumstances, high position. There is a winner's crown waiting for you if you keep going. Jesus wants you to have life to the full, and you will when you meet him face to face. You're in a very strong position indeed, although it doesn't look that way to the world. So keep going. And if you're rich, well, the opposite is true in lots of ways. The world might look at you and think, well, there is someone who's made it. There is a picture of success. If we're rich, our lives can seem very secure, nothing to worry about. Except, well, we know for sure, don't we, that it doesn't always work out like that. Fortunes have been lost overnight. More importantly, all of our riches will one day be gone. In fact, we'll be gone. So if you're rich, and let's face it, in world terms, all of us are, some of us extremely rich, make sure you see things God's way. In a moment, we're going to talk about temptation. There's a huge risk that we don't keep going because we don't see as God sees. Our riches in this life can very easily mean we forfeit far greater riches, infinitely greater riches in the life to come. Our wealth will be gone. Only our relationship with God will last. So let's not let wealth distract us. Let's use our money and our resources in a way that looks bonkers to a non-Christian world. Let the neighbours look down on us. Let our colleagues think we've lost our minds because of the way we're using our money. We can take pride, verse 10, in our humiliation because of Jesus, our humble saviour. Second, then, let's look at verses 13 to 18. James starts talking about temptation and the idea that maybe we start to think, well, God's out to get me. God is tempting me. James says, no, God isn't like that. God wants you to win the prize. He's not trying to trip you up on the way. So verses 13 to 15, he doesn't tempt and he can't be tempted himself. Now, we have to be a little bit careful with the language here. The words used for trial and temptation, those two words, they're mostly the same word in the original. That's why we have to be careful. We saw last week that God will use trials in our lives, difficult things. He will take a bad thing and he will use it for our good. But when in English we talk about temptation, well, we're talking about the opposite intention, really, aren't we? Think about when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. The devil was not trying to teach Jesus perseverance. The whole point, from Satan's point of view, was that he was trying to get Jesus to sin. But of course, Jesus wouldn't do that. He always obeyed his Father, even when he was hungry, even when he was faced with Satan himself, even when he was put to death. And you can know for sure, because if it happened to Jesus, that it's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he resisted that temptation, didn't he? He persevered, he kept going. God does not want to catch us out. He wants us to persevere. He wants us to grow. He wants us to say no to temptation. And he wants to bring us to that day to come when there won't be any temptation anymore. If you think back to that idea of riches and poverty, can you see there is huge temptation in both, isn't there? Being poor, being rich, both come with massive temptations. So don't give in to the temptation. Keep going with your eyes on the prize. God is not out to get you. In fact, it's the complete opposite, verses 16 to 18. What do you know about God, James says? What is God like? Well, he's the one who sends every good and perfect gift. He's a father, a perfect father who loves to give good things to his children. So one of those things that he gives is perseverance, the ability to keep going. And he gives us faith and hope and love. James reminds us, God never changes. He's always good, always kind. God gave us birth. Verse 18, and I think probably James is talking about the new birth that comes through trust in Jesus. You've heard the word of truth, he says in verse 18, I think it is. The word of truth. That is, you've heard about Jesus. You've put your trust in him, and therefore you were made alive. That's why you can call God your Father. That's why you can know he's on your side and he wants to give you that crown on the last day. We can know all that for sure. We can know it with more certainty than anything else in the world. And that's because we know Jesus, the one who has promised life to us and given his life for us. The crown of life, of course, is something that none of us deserves. We've all given in to temptation in our lives. We've all despaired sometimes at life's trials. We don't deserve life. We don't deserve the crown. But it's ours because God is kind. Because he has sent his son to give us everything we don't deserve. So keep going. I can't tell you when this life is going to be back to normal, but isn't what we're promised here just so much better? In a world of uncertainty, huge uncertainty, well, this is for sure. The crown of life is for sure. Some of us at Grace Church are going through really very difficult things at the moment. And for others of us, many of us, those trials are still to come. There will be all sorts of difficult things. How do we keep going? How do we persevere? Look to the crown of life that the Lord has promised. Look to our loving, kind Heavenly Father. And look to the cross that guarantees the crown to all who trust in Jesus. Let's be quiet for a moment. Let's commit ourselves to keeping going, persevering, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you never change. We thank you that you're always kind. And we thank you that you want us to receive that crown of life on the final day, not because of anything good in us, but because of your astounding love for us. Because you sent Jesus to die in our place so that we can live. Father God, this world is full of difficult things, trials and temptation. And so we pray that you would help us to keep going with our eyes on that goal of the crown of life. Help us to remember at every turn in our lives that you are good and that you want that for us. Help us to trust you completely and to bring you glory in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.